College Football Podcast with Herbie and Pollock. Now here's your host, Kevin Negandhi.
And welcome to the College Football Podcast. Kevin Negandhi, your host. And coming up later on here, we'll have Lincoln Riley, Oklahoma head coach, joining us to talk about how he's handling the pandemic, his advice for his young players as they also deal with a national crisis following the death of George Floyd, with protests all throughout the country, and how we're handling that, and what he's telling his team, and how he processes it personally as well. And, you know, why, you know, patience is working out right now for the Oklahoma program when it comes to dealing with the pandemic. Before we get to Lincoln, though, it's great to have David Pollock with us. How are you, my man?
I am wonderful, brother. I've already got my quarantine 15 packed on. You know, I'm good to go, brother. Been keeping yourself as busy as possible. So I'm getting excited because we're starting to do a lot more of this now. We're starting to talk a lot more about football, and hopefully that continues. And, you know, I bet Lincoln's pretty excited to talk football too.
Yeah, and it's great to have you healthy and safe as you've enjoyed the time off and with the family, spending a ton of time with them. But before we get to that, you said the 15. Did you add 15 pounds? There's no way you added 15 pounds.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm thicker than a Snickers right now, brother. I definitely gained the 15. You know, listen, when you don't have – listen, no secret. I built a gym behind my house. It's got a basketball court in it, and I got a weight room. And so I work out, you know, an hour and a half usually every morning. And, you know, I'm sitting there ticking, and I'm bored out of my mind during the quarantine. And, you know, I'm going to go out there for the second one. So – I've definitely had a lot of strength gains and definitely packed on some LBs and look a lot thicker. I won't get the thin comments as much this year. I can promise you that. I'll get less of the, are you sure you played defensive line? I look more like a defensive lineman now.
And you don't have to trick everybody where you had to carry the dumbbell on the weight when you had to measure yourself at the combine, right? To add any extra weight.
Yeah, now I'm good. I'm good, bro. I'm a solid 240 plus, so I'm good.
All right, all good here. And Lincoln Riley coming your way right now. Oklahoma head coach Lincoln Riley joining us here on the College Football Podcast. And Lincoln, it's unprecedented times for us as a country dealing with a pandemic. And then in the last week and a half, the fallout in cities after George Floyd died in police custody in Minneapolis. As a leader of young men, especially young men of color, what's been your message to your team this past week after the death of George Floyd?
A couple things. I think it was important for them to know, which I think a lot of my players, especially our, you know, returning players, already know about me, but you know, I was lucky to be raised in a family that taught me that, you know, human life is equal, and that, you know, your opportunities, the things that you get to experience in life should be based on how hard you work. And when you get all those different decisions in life, you either make the right ones or the wrong ones, and not based on anything else. And so I've been lucky to be raised that way. And so that was, regardless of what profession I chose, that's always, you know, kind of been my belief. And so thankful for that. I think the second thing has been a voice of support. Our first job here is to protect our guys, players, staff members. That's my most important job. And so one that we take very seriously, and we're actively kind of examining and preparing on how we can do that better, especially with all that's going on right now. And then I think too of encouraging our players to let their voice be heard. These are very, very smart guys that have been exposed to a lot in a short amount of time on this earth. You know, we don't ever want to suppress anyone's voices. We want their voices to be heard. I think that's part of this goal of equality that so many of us want. And I've been really proud with how our players have responded in such a volatile time.
Hey, Coach, I think one of the things that's really difficult as a player is you have a voice and you want to be heard and you want to help. But that's not your avenue either. You're used to playing football. You know, like, how do you coach these kids? And I say that because you're a coach. How do you help them have a voice and be successful with it? Because I can remember I thought things at a young age, but I didn't know how to materialize things or really say them in a way that maybe wasn't angry or maybe wasn't, or in a way that would come across, you know, polished, like you're used to being in front of cameras and stuff like that.
Nah, David, it's a great question. I think it comes from, if the only time you talk about this kind of stuff, or you only time you really teach these players about it is when something like this is going on, then you're probably, you know, going to get maybe a not great result. And so it's something that we try to continually educate our players on year round, whether it's perspective and what's going on in the world, teaching them to be articulate and to be able to express themselves, kind of the balance of expressing exactly how you feel, but also learning to do that in a positive and a great way. And so that's, you know, we haven't really had to talk about anything new here, just reinforce kind of the values of our program, that we want them to have a voice, but we want it to be tasteful. We want it to be peaceful. We want it to be well thought out with great intentions. And if our guys do that they're going to have our support regardless of whatever their view is. And so, you know, we've been able to lean on kind of our year round teaching. And I think that's definitely, you know, helped our program during this time.
And now from one crisis, you know, we're surrounded by another one with a pandemic. And you have preached patience and getting one shot to get this right. July 1st is when scheduled activities are set to begin for Oklahoma football. As for testing here, Lincoln, what plans will you guys have in place when players return to campus here in 3 weeks?
Well, Kevin, it's amazing how much it's changed just since we made the decision. I mean, we made our decision about a month ago, which was well before, as you guys know, any leagues, the NCAA, anybody else decided what they were going to do. We knew we weren't going to bring our guys back until, you know, the back end of this thing. And so I'm proud of our leadership for being decisive, for having our priorities in place and not worrying about what competitors, other leagues, any other regulations. We just simply did what we felt was right. And it's been amazing. I mean, if we would have had to have made the decision then or brought them in right then, it's amazing how much we've learned just in the last month. I think you're seeing that right now. I mean, the testing has changed, the procedures, the quarantining. I mean, so much has changed and we're constantly learning more and more. The testing is getting better. And so, you know, I get at some point we got to step off the ledge and try this thing, but I'm certainly glad that we've got another, you know, close to 4 weeks, to be able to improve, to prepare and be as ready as we can. Cause obviously the goal is to try to get these guys here without any cases. And then you got to do a great job of trying to minimize or eliminate it as much as you can. And it's obviously not going to be easy. I mean, you've seen, you know, just here in the first few days, a lot of, you know, several cases across college football already. So, I think I'm confident in our plan. And I fully believe we're doing the right thing for the health and safety of our players and staff. And that's first and foremost, regardless of any other competitive issues.
And speaking of your players and how you bring them back, how do you bring them back? Because, you know, we've seen all this stuff online with all these guys, like, you know, using the grocery list and doing jugs of water. Bro, that ain't football. I mean, that ain't close to exploding with hamstrings and, you know, and cutting all over the place and being physically strong to hit somebody. Like, I mean, usually you have a big growth, Lincoln, from freshman to sophomore year because you went through spring ball and you got in the weight room and you get so used to being around and you get so much better. Like, how do you bring kids along now? Is it a slower process for you than normally in the past?
Well, I think it's interesting. You know, I mean, like when you really look at like what have they missed? You know, for the majority of us, and we're certainly in this category, I mean, it was spring ball.
Yep.
The reality is this is going to be the longest off-season period that probably any of these players have ever had. I mean, the majority of these players started off-season in mid-January and are going to have off-season until, you know, the beginning of August. I mean, that's a long, long off-season. So I think we've been able to grow. I think some of the time that we missed, the time that they're not here training in our facilities will be offset by just how long this off season period has been. And the fact that I think we pushed our guys, even though they weren't right here with us, we pushed our guys much, much harder in May, than we normally would. And so I think that the time is an advantage. The football stuff's going to be interesting, you know, because we've all lived in a world where most of us miss spring ball. We've all had a lot more meeting time than we've ever had, which I think is an advantage. We've also had less field time than we've ever had. So where does that finish off? You know, where does that end up? Hard to say. But if we, you know, if we are able to start doing some things with these guys in late July that we're not normally able to do, I think we can make up a good amount. And I think, you know, to the trained eye, you might, you know, you may see a little bit of difference in the execution or quality maybe at the beginning of the season. But I think it would take somebody very, very experienced in football to be able to tell the difference. I you know, if we are able to successfully navigate the pandemic, you know, and not have any big, you know, big issues, you know, other big kind of chunks of time that we have to miss, I think the game is still going to be played at a very high level this fall.
David brought up the experience, and you guys are going to bring back a veteran group on the defensive side. You lose, of course, superstar Kenneth Murray. And then when you look at the quarterback position, you've had a lot of success having veterans slide right in with Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, and Jalen Hurts. This year, a little bit different. Tanner Mordecai and Spencer Rattler, and we'll see how that plays out. When they return, you get the chance to see these guys. But I do want to talk about this unique thing with you in this offense and having those three quarterbacks in Mayfield, Murray, and Hurts. What have you learned about yourself as a coach when you work with these three guys and they have three different unique sets of talent?
Well, I've learned, I mean, I think we got a good staff that, you know, we've done a good job, I think, of being able to build it to our guys' skill sets, not just the quarterbacks, but the people around them. And we've got some core values that we believe in that are kind of non-negotiable, but I think we've also certainly not scared to branch out and try some new things and do what we think's right. And we've obviously been fortunate. We've had some very good players there and, you know, most importantly, good people, great competitors that have worked hard and let us coach them hard. And so that's obviously we're trying to continue to bring guys like that in and feel like we've got several guys that in that category in our room right now. So, you know, this year's even just the time I've spent with them has been different. You know, certainly like everybody, you hate missing the spring ball time with them. But, you know, I am happy that these guys have a really, really good idea of what we're doing offensively. I mean, these guys have taken quite a few reps here. It's much different. It's almost like the total opposite of last year with Jalen, where Jalen had a lot of game experience, but he came in with no experience in our offense. So that was the catch up was trying to get him just totally in sync with what we were doing, which these guys are a lot further along right now in that. They don't have as much game experience, obviously. And so it's, you know, honestly, this has probably been a better year to have guys that have been in the offense. And so I can tell the difference with that already. And they're both very talented guys. So, you know, we've been able to produce pretty good at that position. And I'm confident that we're going to do it again.
Yeah, you've been okay at that position. Just average, yeah. You know, no big deal. Coach.
It's been all right.
Yeah.
Lincoln, we appreciate the time. We want to wish you health and safety first with you and your family as well as the program. And thanks for joining us here on the College Football Podcast.
Thank you, guys. Y'all stay healthy and appreciate y'all having me on.
Good stuff from Lincoln Riley there. He had a short window in a conversation with us and we do.
He didn't want to talk to us anymore anyway, so that's perfect.
Well, the man's got a lot on his plate. And one of the things that, you know, we talked a little bit about Oklahoma last year was year one of Alex Grinch. And mm-hmm. You were a big fan of the defensive coordinator. I mean, this is year two. And he gets a lot of guys back on that defensive side that stand out. And when you look at Oklahoma, that's the one thing that has been the theme, right? We know what they could do on offense. Can they stop anybody? What do you think about 2020 and the idea of stopping people, at least giving that offense another chance to get back on the field?
Well, they took steps in the right direction a year ago. I'm not saying it was perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but you want to take, you know, those steps in that direction and continue to improve. Now, listen, if you want to go to the LSU game, LSU did that to everybody. Okay. LSU made Alabama look stupid. LSU made Georgia look stupid. They made everybody look stupid. So I think what you got to point to is that offense and just his amazing knack to last year's offense for Oklahoma was totally different than we're used to seeing. I mean, it was totally Jalen Hurts wheels dependent. It was not a rhythm timing, take shots down the field pinpoint accuracy that we've seen from the quarterback position, and Lincoln Riley did it seamlessly. So why would you not expect that to happen again and again and again? And if I'm Lincoln Riley, like, I just go to the top quarterback every year in high school football. I'm like, all right, Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, Jalen Hurts, you, I mean, are you ready to sign? Like, here's my, just go ahead and sign the letter of intent right here. Like, this is what we're going to do for you. Like, it makes things very simple. So I think the offense is going to continue to grow. Now, can the defensive side, can they find more playmakers? You know, K-9, Kenneth Murray obviously was a big-time playmaker, first-round pick. Melvin Gallimore gone. Defensive tackle, probably their best, you know, interior player. So I think, can they continue to find guys on that side of the football that can – they can be studs, not just offensively. And when you're talking about offensive, obviously CeeDee Lamb being gone, they've already dealt with injuries too at the wide receiver spot. So they're going to be less experienced on offense. And I think offensively it'll be interesting to watch them, because I don't think they're going to be what they've been. Can they make up for it and get into the Final Four again, by the way? Because all Lincoln Riley does is put teams in the college football playoff. Yeah. That's all he does, literally. That's all he's done since he's been there at Oklahoma every single year. I think we forget that. Dude's 36. Mm-hmm. Like, he's still doing it. Like, he does it. He's done it every year. And by the way, I think it's because, Kevin, listen to him talk. Like, if you don't think players respect that and appreciate that, because I don't think he sugarcoats. I think he's honest. I think he's respectful. I just think he's got a good pulse of who he is and what he wants. And I think he gives that to his players. And that's why he's really good.
What helps also when you're bringing in a quarterback that knows the system but doesn't have the game reps, it helps that you have an experienced offensive line. They're going to have an experienced offensive line, and that works leaps and bounds here when we talk about, and this is going to be a theme, I think, all season for college football and the NFL, being familiar with the system, right? You brought that up. Yeah. When you're different, you're going to be a freshman this year more than ever, right? Yeah. Are you familiar with everything? And when you have experience on that offensive line, that is a big, big deal when whoever wins the battle between Rattler and Mordecai, and they've been high on Rattler for years, highly touted coming in and just biding his time. And Mordecai's done the same thing. If you're the backup at Oklahoma, do you have the patience to wait? Because if not, you're going to transfer out. We saw, you know, with Austin Kendall, are you going to be patient to see, or is there somebody else going to come in and take your spot?
Well, and here's the thing, it's great to be in the system. And I think being in the system last year is a huge deal, because you get to see the week in, week out changes, who we are, what we are. Now, last year, obviously, Oklahoma's offense is way different than it's been in the past. The off season, we can talk all we want. You had more meeting time. Meetings don't mean crap. Meetings mean very little to players. Players don't. They're tuned out. They're, you know, and listen, this comes from somebody who experienced this and was that. You tune out. You get better by reps, and you get better by watching yourself on tape screw it up and then come in the next day and try to fix it. And the next day and try to fix it. Not having spring ball, not having off season, weight room program the last several months makes a huge, huge difference. Freshmen are going to be more like freshmen than they were. You see a huge jump from freshman to sophomore year. I think you're going to see less of that jump, and it's going to be interesting to watch. And I think we're going to figure out right away who really did a good job of taking care of their body and who did a good job of, you know, being in the weight room and finding areas and ways they could during this pandemic to get better. Because I got news for you, bro. The video game's easy to pop on, and you put your headset on and you talk to your boys, and it's hot outside. I don't really want to go outside. I don't really have a space to go to. I don't have a trainer. I don't have a coach, blah, blah, blah. We're going to see who put in time. I've spoke to a bunch of teams this offseason, Kevin. And I've spoke to four or five college teams, and you know what I told them? I told them all the same thing. When it's September and you're playing games for college football, and the fans are watching and millions of people are watching on TV, don't nobody give a crap about a pandemic. Ain't nobody going, oh, you know, it was a rough off season. They're going to be looking at you saying you suck or you're good. And you determine that today, this off season, if you're going to put in time or you're going to be a lazy bum and play video games and find an excuse or find a reason to make an excuse. And, you know, when that time comes around, I think we're going to see who put in work and who didn't.
Lincoln touched a little bit about the playmakers too. I mean, they lose CeeDee Lamb, but when you look at Rambo there, you look at the idea that their running backs, no matter who it is in the backfield, they keep coming in fresh. Kennedy Brooks, I really like this team to be in the Final Four conversation once again, just because of the magic of Lincoln Riley and what he does with quarterbacks.
Well, and they're owning this conference. You know, I mean, they're doing a great job of, you know, dominating the Big 12. And I think you'll continue to see that because offensively, they're just kind of a step ahead of everybody. Now, last year, Jalen Hurts, I think, covered up some of the warts because I don't think they were good up front like we're used to accustomed to seeing them the years before. They kind of struggled. And the running game was still good, and his creativity was still good. I think this year is going to be the most competitive year we've seen in the Big 12. You know, obviously you got Sam Ellinger coming back. You know, Iowa State, I think, is going to be another good team. I think when you start looking across, TCU's returning a bunch of guys. Obviously lose a bunch of guys too, but every year is going to be good. I think there's going to be a little bit more parity, more close games than we've seen in the past with Oklahoma. But no, they're the favorite, and until they lose actually the Big 12, and they'll lose the spot as being the favorite. It's kind of like the Patriots right now, right? No Tom Brady. They've dominated their division for 6,000 years. I'm going to see it when I believe it, when somebody else wins the league.
Yeah, and when you bring up the Patriots, you bring up the coach, right? Bill Belichick, yep. Who knows what he's doing, and that brings us back to Lincoln Riley. Do appreciate him joining us here on the College Football Podcast. It's great to have you back with us and joining us. And David's going to be with us later on when we're going to have Herm Edwards join us. And in the coming weeks, as promised, we're going to have coaches from around all of college football and conversations on how they're dealing with the pandemic and the advice to their young men and also the outlook to the upcoming season. So once again, a big thanks to Lincoln Riley for his conversation today. And check out the College Football Podcast coming your way with new conversations with coaches down the road. Big thanks to our producer, Taylor Schwenk, coordinating all of this. We hope everyone stays healthy and safe, and we will talk to you again later this week.